Hello and welcome back to Stadia Source, your number one source for Stadia news and reviews. This is the Stadia Source Roundtable Podcast. My name is Avery, and we have got a fantastic show tonight, so let's get right to it. With me, as always, we've got Dan.
How's it going, all?
We got Dom.
Good evening.
We've got your favorite streamer, Scarlett.
Hello, you cowardice of dogs.
It's a weird one for dogs. You'd think
I know, right?
Like pack of dogs or something.
Yeah, but it's cowardice.
And you may know our guest as the director of Fury Ion Games, the studio that is gearing up to bring you mayhem and monsters in the Stadia Makers program with Death Carnival. It's Herbert Young, aka Ice B.
Hey, how's it going?
So good to have you on the podcast tonight, and glad to see you here. Before we get started, did you know that you can get the Roundtable as an actual podcast? Search for Stadia Source on Spotify, Pocket Casts, Apple Podcasts, or wherever it is that you get podcasts. Also, we want you to be a part of the conversation. Be sure to say hi in the chat, and if you want, you can click that super chat button or that super sticker button to show a little bit of love for your good friends here at Stadia Source. Last but not least, you can join Stadia Source right here on YouTube, and members get amazing perks from exclusive community play live streams to early access videos to even some Stadia Source merch, as you can see on our panel tonight. So click the join button down below to learn more and become a member. Ice B, it is so great to have you on the panel tonight. We are going to spend a lot more time talking to you later about Death Carnival and all that good stuff, but want to give you an opportunity just to introduce yourself to the chat and the community and say hi. So tell us a little bit more about you, your history of gaming, and how you got started with developing.
So my background is actually not in game development. My background is actually in advertising and business. For the longest time since growing up, since I was very young, I wanted to make games. And for the longest time, I completely forgot that was my dream since I was a young kid. But I mean, even though I forgot about that, you know, when I think back, I would have all these moments where I would create these kind of game scenarios for friends to play online or locally, right? You know, I have tons of drinking games, for example, that I've created. but then anyway, one day, two of us said, hey, let's just make a game, and then we were like, okay, let's try it. And it's a long story, but just to summarize it, we didn't expect to get this far. We were just gonna try, you know, making a little fun little thing to play with. And then it just got bigger and bigger, and here we are.
Fantastic. Well, we're excited to have you, and glad you were able to circle back to the dream. We'll talk more about how that dream's going for you here in just a little bit. We'll kick it off as we always do with a little bit of roundup of what we have all been playing. So for that, we'll start with Scarlett. Scarlett, what have you been playing on Stadia this week, or other platforms as you may have been playing?
So if anybody was there on Sunday for my Ready Gamer One segment, you will know that I officially hate Human Fall Flat.
officially. Does not surprise me at all. I wasn't going to say anything. I voted for it, actually, but I wasn't going to say anything.
You did. yeah, so I tried it, and I like the idea of puzzles and stuff, and I love that, but I cannot do the and then pushing. I just, no. Mm-mm. So we ended up playing some Cake Bash instead, which was great because everybody who was there watching was totally okay with that. And Miles, our good friend Miles from the review team, came in and tied me both times. Right?
How so
there was this great experience that we had. I even said, let's send an invite to Zach because that seems like a legit thing to do. Well, he got my invite, and he's like, I don't have the game. So he bought it and hopped right into the next one. He's like, don't have to wait for downloads. And so that was great. So yeah, Human Fall Flat, Never Again, and Cake Bash.
yeah, I think after having to suffer through our good buddy Dan's good buddy doing inappropriate things throughout most of my 24-hour live stream section where I was doing Human Fall Flat, that also is going, by the end of it, I'm just like, can we just be done with this? We're so close and I don't want to, but let's just be done.
We completed this game. How many people?
We had we just kept opening it up. Anybody that would send me a friend request, I was like, sure, get on in the game. So we ended up having 16 viewers in there with me, and we're just, and then heavens, what's his name? It's the guy that helped us out so much. It's so terrible. If you're in the chat right now, say hi.
I know,
so I know, and it's gone from my head. Anyways, we had a wonderful person who was in there helping me and basically just parkouring through the level on the underside to do stuff. So big shout out already to Ape Glitch saying we're doing with the $4.99 super chat saying you guys are doing amazing work in the fight against the console shiners. I don't know what a console shiner is.
That's an amazing name.
But yes, Ape Glitch is a phenomenal YouTube name. We love it. So thank you for your support of Stadia Source. We really appreciate it. Eli Levy. That was it.
Yes, Eli.
It just clicked in my brain. Eli.
I knew you were going to say it, and I was going to be like, oh, yeah, Eli. And then I was going to be like, yeah, because Eli Palchuk, or Eli and Palchuk from Trollhunters, and there's my, childish side.
There you go. And to tell us next what he's been playing this week, it's Anthony, and Now Your Mama Knows.
I'm a cowboy. Oh man. Listen, guys.
Got the cowboy hat on, rocking the hat. We're gonna have to get you a hat band that says Stadia Source. Scarlett, can we get a cowboy hat band?
I can make him a collared shirt that's got Stadia embroidered on it.
Just a nice little put the S right there.
Yeah.
That'd be good. Let me just laugh at myself. I went into the Slack and I kept clicking to jump in, but I kept jumping on the old ones. It said this ended so many days ago. I'm like, where is the right one, Avery?
Just start podcasting by yourself.
Man. Yeah. Anyway, how's it going, guys? Thank you for having me. Sorry that I'm late. I changed my work schedule so I could be here, but it's like, anyway, so I've been playing a ton, and Dan, you might not like when I say this, but I've been playing a lot of Power Rangers. I got people constantly challenging me so much that I said, after the Stadia Source Roundtable podcast, the first game I'm playing is Power Rangers Fight for the Grid. So all of you guys watching, let's see if anybody could beat me, because so far, man, I'm whooping everybody. But anyway, I've been playing a lot of Power Rangers. I've been playing a lot of Avengers. I've just been doing a round robin of games. I've been playing Sniper Elite 4. Yesterday I was playing Dead Army 4. I was playing Strange Brigade. You name it, I've been playing it. So I've been playing everything. I'm taking advantage of no downloads and installs, where I could just press a button, play a game, jump out, press a button, play a game. So
are you one of the 400 people left that are playing Avengers? I don't know if anybody else saw that, but like at launch, it was like 4.3 million people. And then at some point this week, there were only 400 people in the multiplayer lobby.
But I like, think that was on Steam, right? I think they're using using the Steam metric. Steam. Yeah, so that's technically, you know, like the least amount of people. But anyway, but yeah, you know what? But anyway, here's the thing though. Remember, I created the State of the Avengers. So I got a bunch of people on Facebook, like 112 people or whatever, that's still on that page, that's still in the Discord. So when I get on, I want to play with somebody, I just say, hey guys, I'm on. Who's trying to play? So
there you go. You guys got a crew. Ice B, what have you been playing this week, Stadia or otherwise, other than play testing on Death Carnival?
Sorry to say, I haven't been playing anything at all. We're in a crunch period right now. That's it. Constantly playing Death Carnival. Not trying to just, you know, prop up our game, but that's it.
Hey, that's fine. That's why we're here. That's why we brought you here, because we all want to play it too, and then eventually we will. Yeah. That's okay. You know, once it releases, you take a nice break. You get you some Valhalla in. You get you some other games. You have the opportunity. Dom, what have you been? What's on your playlist this week?
I've played an absolute shed ton of Risk of Rain 2. A ridiculous amount. My friend and I are determined to complete the game on the medium difficulty. We keep getting so close, and we were doing it the other day, and I died in the last boss fight. And for those that saw the community play on Sunday with Avery, when we completed it on easy, you have to make your way back to the spaceship after you kill the boss, and my friend jumped off the planet and died, and he was completely devastated. pretty much, yeah. And I've also recently just got sort of back into League of Legends, because it's the preseason and they've done a whole new load of changes. And it's a mess, but it's chaos and it's fun. And a little bit of Dead by Daylight.
Us. Chaos and it's fun.
And a little bit of Dead by Daylight, because it's rank reset tomorrow. Which I was trying to get to rank one on both, but I've only managed one on Survivor and four on Killer. So,
do you think that with have they officially turned on the cross progression through the behavior?
It's been on for over a month now.
Look at me being so far behind on all the news. I've
got all my killers and survivors from my Steam account on my Stadia account now, because it's just one account.
So if you thought you were like in trouble playing Dead by Daylight against Dom before, it's so much worse now. Just so y'all know. Just so y'all know.
Yes.
Dan, what's been on your playlist?
Family Fortunes.
You mean Family Feud?
No, Family Fortunes.
Yeah, say it right.
I've been playing. Shout out Les Dennis, Vernon Kay, and Gino DiCampo.
Sorry. No. Shout out Steve Harvey and Ray, whatever his face was, and the super old creepy gropey guy. Shout out to them.
No, yeah, we've been playing a Family Feud. Me and the missus played a few games earlier today. I think, Anthony, have we had another round of Power Rangers since the last one? I think we did, didn't we?
We did, yeah, we did.
Yeah. Still trying to take his crown, but it's just not happening.
This is the Fall Guys, so you don't need a crown.
I've been playing some more Pokemon Shield, because they're just handing out legendaries left, right, and center with this new den thing that they've got. And that's about it. But, I mean, I can kind of sympathize with Ice Speed that when you spend so much time making something, you don't actually spend time enjoying other things. Like if you're working on creating a game, for example, you then don't tend to play other games because you're working on that. Well, that's pretty much me with the website. So I've been trying to play a few more games this week, so that I'm just not saying every week nothing, if you know what I mean.
Pokemon Go.
I played 5 minutes of solitaire on my phone, and that's all I got this week. Well, I have continuing my desperate struggle to be to get a crown in Fall Guys, and failing miserably to do so. I don't know. I'm never. It's like in vogue. I'm never going to get it. Anybody? Anybody? And so I still trying that. Finally got finished on Undermine, and I tried some of the pro games. I tried Sniper Elite 4, and I played all of 3 minutes of it. I was like, I don't care. So I just stopped. then of course Risk of Rain, everything in the playground on Sunday.
Oh yeah, played Risk of Rain too.
Yeah. You played a little bit of Risk of Rain too on Sunday.
Played.
Oh, yeah, I got Tom with the shout. Oh, it's okay. It's on already. We're having a death carnival in here.
Got carried.
Yeah, it's okay. Before we jump into the news, we'll say hi to some of the folks in chat because we love seeing all y'all around here. Kevin Webb, one of our wonderful news writers and a guy who did a really cool thing that I'll be telling you about at the end of the show. So stay tuned for that. Root Verani talking about Stadia messaging might be a thing that we talk about today. Could very well be Victor Del Maestro, Antonio Miles from the review team, who we desperately love. Blue Bobs saying hey to the panel. Couldn't be with us tonight, but we're always good to see him. Ray Stone giving us the side eye. Don't know what that's all about. Rachel saying Ice B sent me. Rachel Lifespent. We'll say hi to her. Glad to have you in. And Jamie Lee Williams. Jamie Lee Williams wants to know, how comfortable is that neck grip, Anthony? Does it feel good on the neck? Is it
Listen,
comfortable there?
It is very comfortable. And on top of that, you could bend it all up. So if I want, I could bend it up and make it higher. I could take it off and make it a tripod and just sit it down on its own. It's pretty comfortable.
I'm just waiting for Anthony to do that and then snap his Galaxy Fold. That will be. I don't want to say it'll be hilarious, but I mean, come on.
Well, as long as it happens on camera. I don't know if you guys realize, but recently I did a thank you video over the weekend where I smashed my 84-inch TV for the subscribers. And so as long as it happens on camera, then it's always content. So
well, you know, I would have anyway. Driven to Jersey and picked that up. You realize I would have taken that off your hands, right? I'm just saying.
I should. My wife been telling me forever. You need to sell the TV. I said. I had it sitting there for like 3 years because I got a new flat screen. So I was like, I want to use it for content. She's like, well, I was like, I think I'm going to smash it. So I've been thinking about this for like the last 5 months. And so I said, I think I'm going to smash it. And she was like, you're going to do what? I was like, yeah, because I got 3 months of thank you videos I didn't do. So let's do a special video where we smash it. And me and my family went in the backyard. And if you see the video, we took a shovel and we did like a little hospital thing where I had like weapons. I had a bat. Shovel, a bucket, a piece of wood, and it was funny too. But yeah, we smashed the 84-inch DLP TV.
This hurts my internals. It just hurts my heart to hear about a TV that size going away. Gavin Vickers will say, hey, working on that Assassin's Creed and all that good stuff. Chris saying hi. Clive Illenden, Lord Kinsel, always good to see you. And then, of course, there's my wife saying no more TVs. So it doesn't really matter. I'm not allowed. Wouldn't have got it anyways. Maybe if it was for free. If it was for free, would it have been okay? She's in the other room.
I mean, I do owe you anyway. I owe you pizza, so I could have gave you a TV.
Send him a $5 TV in the shape of a pizza.
The little squeeze TV.
That'd room. Make a good video.
We're good. We're glad to see all y'all in the chat tonight. And let's get into the news of the week because we have had quite a bit of news this week. In fact, we've had quite a bit of new games that have dropped on Stadia in the past week. Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Family Feud, aka Family Fortunes. Is it now when you load it up on the British Stadia, does it say Family Fortunes or does it say Family Feud?
No, it says Family Feud.
Haven't even bothered localizing the content. Come on.
Question. Dan, you've played it. Is it quite like are the questions US based?
They're very.
Which one of the freedom states do you live in? Our top 100.
I mean, no. From the questions we've had, they've just been like, when you wake up in the morning, what's the first thing you do? Like,
brush your teeth
and stuff. Eat like a scone and a crumpet and drink me tea and talk to the missus.
And Dan, does the YouTube streaming work? Because that's supposed to be the game.
Unfortunately, no, it doesn't at the moment. It appears to work with Twitch, but I haven't actually. I mean, we have a Twitch account, but we don't actually stream on it or anything yet. So, I'm hoping that the YouTube it does say on it YouTube is going to be supported, but it isn't live yet. So
I think it's everybody's thinking that it's streaming, and I think it's just crowd choice. Like they're going to let you. Yeah, they're going to let you vote on what you think the number one answer is or whatever else. And then, which is fine. But I mean, Ice B, how difficult is it to use the crowd choice APIs?
You can't answer that. It's pretty easy. I mean, the documents are pretty straightforward.
There you go. So it's very easily, it's very easily crowd choice.
Now, but real quick question. That game came out yesterday.
Yeah.
Family Feud.
I don't know how time works anymore, so it's very possible.
So here's my conspiracy theory. So YouTube broke last night, right? They had a power outage or whatever. So maybe they were working on YouTube streaming for Stadia, and they broke YouTube for a couple hours.
The timing was very coincidental.
It wasn't just YouTube though. It was like Google Play Store as well.
Okay, well, either way, Google.
Can you imagine how mad the YouTube team would be if Stadia broke them? Like their multi-billion dollar business line taken down by a
how mad the world string. Would be.
Oh yeah. Man. That would be information you would not want to have get out at any point in time.
See, there you go. Stadia's the worst.
I can just imagine the YouTube team turning around and Phil Harrison is standing there with the plug just pulled out of the wall, like, oh, it wasn't me.
I didn't... That bald guy.
That bald guy. But you know, at least people wouldn't be able to go online and make YouTube videos complaining about it. So it's fine.
That is true.
So one silver lining. Has anybody picked up? Obviously, Family Feud. Dan, is it? How are you enjoying it as a game so far?
It's very slow. Like once you've played one round of it, you kind of want it to hurry up because you know what I mean. If you're watching it as a TV show, it's absolutely fine because you want it to kind of last. But when it's a game, you kind of want to get through it quite quick. And I mean, I've not actually won a game yet. I mean, I won against my missus, obviously, but when we've played against the computer,
obviously,
when we played against the computer, I have it on the medium difficulty, and I just some of the answers are like they should be obvious, but they're not, and you end up like there's always one answer out of like five that's just. It's almost like a red herring. It's true, but it's just something you'd have never thought anybody would say. And it always gets you.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? Well, I butcher fresh meat for breakfast.
Yeah.
Why would, I guess, one farmer somewhere.
Someone somewhere does. There's the one person that they asked that did.
Well, speaking of Family Feud, next week, we're going to be talking about this later on, but next week, we are going to be playing some Stadia Family Feud right here on the podcast. Not the game Stadia Family Feud, but Stadia Family Feud. It'll all make sense later. Stay tuned.
Ready for this.
Yes, it'll totally make sense. So Scarlett, you know you got to be in that segment. Has anybody picked up Assassin's Creed or Just Dance 21?
Waiting for Ubisoft Plus.
Yes.
I'll play Valhalla if someone gives it to me for free, and that's probably about it.
Too bad for you.
Is there any?
Maybe I'll ask for it for Christmas. There you go. Give it to me for Christmas.
As they raid the temples of God is one of the things that quotes that went out there. Yeah, it's again. I'm in the same boat. I'm not gonna put down $60 on this. Maybe if we get a review key. I did ask for review keys. We haven't got one yet. I'm just saying. Come on.
Now, you know, Avery, are you planning on getting Ubisoft Connect?
Yeah, I'll do the Ubisoft Plus because I do want to play Watch Dogs Legion. I just don't want to pay. I want to play it, but not enough to pay for it. I want to play Valhalla, and I do want to play it enough to pay for it. Right. But then why? If at some point in the next, 50 days, we will have it. So, you know, I'm kind of in that boat of I just can't bring myself to put money down on that. So.
Could I ask you guys a quick question since we're talking about Valhalla? I was talking to Lloyd from StadiaCast, and he was saying how, you know, the Viking era was really cool. I said, me personally, I wait for the Ubisoft Plus so I could play the Spartan Odyssey because I personally would rather be a Spartan than a Viking. So we went back and forth real quick. Do you guys, or quick poll, what's more popular or what's better, Vikings or Spartans?
Oh, interesting. Tell us in the chat what you think, Spartans, mm-hmm. Spartans versus Vikings. I haven't played the Vikings one yet, but I do like that period of history. I was a ardent fans of the podcast will know that I've every so often referenced the fact that I was a medieval reenactor for almost a decade.
Right.
So I did early age, dark age, dark age British. So I would be the people that would be getting smashed by the Vikings as they came over and raided the
main. Still like the Vikings when they were smashing you?
I had a lot of friends named Turnblur Flurngsnur and such with 17. They always say there was a joke that we used to make. There were people who played Norse and people who played Welsh. And Norse names are all about pronouncing every single letter that's there. Welsh names are all about pronouncing none of the letters that are there. You know, if you have any friends who are Norse or Viking. Right now, looks like the chat is going Vikings. Skyrim, yeah. Obviously. You know, Vikings would win. Hey, that, she looks familiar. Ray saying Vikings. So, Vikings are a lot cooler. Tommy Rock says Vikings are a lot cooler. Greetings from Norway.
When you play, hold on, wait. When you play Assassin's Creed Valhalla, right? It's all like I was watching Lori play. I was like, dude, it's all dark, gloomy, and raining. When you watch
that's
Odyssey,
England.
Hold up. When you watch Odyssey, it's all like palm trees and sunny with the Spartans.
That's Greece.
I'm just saying.
I'm gonna say, Anthony, I love you to death. It's Valhalla. You're merging Van Halen and Valhalla together.
Okay, say it again. Say it again.
Val. Halla.
All right.
Valhalla. I'm
always saying
Eddie Van Halen with horns. Or Valhalla. Yeah, I mean, you know. Yeah. Valhalla. Nobody. Okay.
Tomato, tomato.
I got you.
So, you know, we'll all pick these games up when we get a chance. Did everybody claim their free premiere edition before supplies ran out? Randomly, Dom with the double. Randomly.
Three. Dom, give me one.
One's on my desk, one's in a box there, and one's going to my
and
brother's
one's
house.
On its way to my house.
I bet you if I check my FedEx tracking right now, there's probably one sitting on my stoop in the apartment hall. No, scheduled by end of day. But it's still at the transit facility. I'm not getting that today. They're lying. I'll get that tomorrow. No. But yeah, I ordered, I got two. So for those of you who have no idea what we're talking about, for people who had been subscribed to YouTube Premium, you randomly, if you loaded up the YouTube app or if you saw it on Reddit or Twitter first, had an option to claim a free Stadia Premier Edition, $99 value. You get the Chromecast Ultra, you get the controller, and apparently they forgot to lock it down to one per family account. So literally everybody that was on a family account was able to claim one. So we claimed a couple. Yeah, kind of nuts. Dom claimed three of them. Dom is the reason they ran out of supplies, because he just had to have one of all of them.
I have a friend who's on YouTube Premium as well, and I said to him claim it, but he said no. So
I was gonna ask my coworkers if any of them had it. I'm like, hey, click this button. But they've already ran out of supplies in the U.S. at least, and they're expanding it to other regions. Did anybody else get a chance to claim it? Herbert, are you a YouTube Premium person?
I'm not, but I have tons and tons of controllers already in all the best podcasts.
I would bet. Did they at least as part of the Stadia makers? Did they at least send you a Stadia controller so that you'd be able to test it with the game?
Yeah, they just sent me the best.
Did you get like a special one, or is it like wasabi or white or black?
Wait, can I say that?
I mean, was it a clear one?
They sent me a dev kit with lots of cool stuff, devy stuff.
Transparent one.
Did you get the transparent one?
Or does it have like death?
Oh, okay.
They have a letter that says, you know, if you take a picture of this, if you say anything about it, You get
nothing. You stole fizzy
okay,
lifting
drinks.
Okay,
he didn't say anything.
Yeah, he didn't say anything. Google? Fine. It's fine. I claimed my two. I can't wait for this to come in. I mean, it's a kind of a cool way to just supercharge the number of people who are in Stadia. Who knows how many folks. I think the Stadia subreddit gained like over 1,000 people in a single day, which was a huge bump. So we'll see. I wish I do say I still wish they'd give me a controller color question, because I'm now gonna have two of the whites. So I'd like to have the white one and the black one, because I already have the Founders and the Wasabi.
I've said, just in regard to this offer, I did see a lot of on like Twitter and stuff, people saying like, oh hey, I'm really been interested in it, but if it's free, I'll give it a go. So I'm waiting now in a week's time or something, when these people then, if they do report back and say, actually, do you know what, it actually works pretty well, or no, screw Stadia, it's terrible still. But I mean, I'm hoping it's going to be positive.
Yeah. If only this had happened during the Good Stuff event.
Yeah.
Time. Like, if they had done this like a couple days beforehand, people claim it, they get it, they come on, they're like, I'm playing, Immortals Fenyx Rising. Like, they hop in and they're like, oh my gosh. Like, we probably could have kept so many more people around.
But the problem is, we don't know if that ever would have happened because of stuff like COVID. We don't know how much that's impacted. Like, supply lines of
I mean, how many people have just claimed them in this was like what, a month ago? I don't think it would have been that much of a difference.
This thing only they ran out real fast though. Like
so if they had done this, you know, a week beforehand, and then we have Good Stuff coming and the people are playing the free trials.
How many have gone to already pre-existing Stadia users that have claimed several?
Because true. I mean
maybe. Then they pass it on to their friend.
Yeah, she got a good point.
Claim five and then sell them and buy a new Xbox or something.
Yeah. That's horrible. No, don't suggest that to anyone. I mean, apparently, so the thing is, you can have up to six people in your family group, including yourself. So some people claim four, five, six. You know, so hopefully I got my two. I sent the link to some other people on my family group, but I bet they didn't click it. So I need to actually check in with them and see if they did. So,
well, interestingly, though, like, because it's a Stadia family group, my brother did it, and I then got a notification because you have to sign up for Pro when you claim the offer. So I then got a notification saying, hey, blah, 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 wants to buy Pro. Is this allowed?
Are you? Yes, and you have to approve it. Well, and you know what? It just clicked. That's exactly why this timing happened. They just rolled out family sharing. So if they had done this before the Good Stuff, everybody would have had to have their own account. Now everybody in that family group who claims the Stadia controller can play using the family sharing. That's probably the reason for this timing.
That's a good point, but it still would have been cool.
And Scarlett's like, then just roll out family sharing sooner, you dips.
Yeah, I mean, like, come on, guys, why not?
Well, you know, it was kind of cool. Kumna got the whole six. Rouster got four. Scalpers, better not. I mean, I guess if it gets more people playing Stadia, but you know, whatever. I also saw a few folks saying that what they were told they were signing up for a 1 month trial, but what they ended up getting was their next billing in 3 months. When we did it, it was 1 month. So my wife was one of the claimants here, and it says it's a month. So we'll find out. Other cool stuff happening this week. I'm going to rearrange my show notes just a hair here. Take-Two buying Codemasters. So Take-Two and Codemasters, both pretty much the only folks that kind of deal with Stadia games in the sports realm. I guess 2K to some extent. But Codemasters with Grid. Yes. I think they were Codemasters.
And F1.
And F1, Take-Two. So, forming a sports gaming powerhouse out there, maybe? Does anybody care about this at all? Moving on. Dom, go right ahead.
As long as Codemasters continue to make games that are good, because like their latest F1 title, as I think a lot of people found out on the free weekend last weekend, because there was a ton of streams and a ton of people playing it, I think the majority thought it was actually quite a good game. As long as they continue to make good games, whatever, go for it. If they can get more funding from Take-Two. Mm. Yeah.
Use it.
Yeah, I wonder if... I see a pro and con to this for this acquisition and also for the industry. I mean, on one hand, you get more funding, right? So all the quality of all the games in the portfolio gets elevated. But at the same time, I have a concern that is also going to be standardized. Like it's more of a formula, right? If it works for this, for the company, then hey, why not multiply this by 20 times for every single title?
It's when you look at like the 2K games and the EA Sports games, and they're literally just a copy of last year's game plus a little bit of a different roster change or something. Then it's like,
it's like the new NHL game. They literally came out and said, "We're not making a new NHL game this year. We're just going to update like some of the rosters a bit, and that's about it. Deal with it." Yeah.
And I'm a big wrestling fan. I said that for years. They should just stop making a yearly wrestling and then just update it and add DLC, because it's like the same game every year, but they just change a couple different things and add new people.
Well, that's what Pro Evolution Soccer are doing now, from my understanding. They're just going to be doing updates now, whether then you pay yearly, like a subscription, like a season pass or something. I'm not sure, but they've said they're not going to continue making a game every year because they don't see the point in it.
Yeah,
it's like, why? I definitely agree with Iceby on this. Like, at a certain point, you end up with Disney's again. Like, we're already seeing this happen with Xbox Game Studios just buying and buying and buying and merging and merging and merging. So now, Take-Two and Codemasters, if Xbox, Microsoft decides they just want to put down a nine-figure check for them, great. Now they've scooped up two more, you know. But takes money to make money. Takes money to make a game. So we'll see what comes of it. Maybe we'll still get that high quality of repeat gaming that we always have from these companies. I'm sure they do great ones. I don't play sports games at all, so I really don't have any idea how good these games are. Outcasters gave us a new team battle mode kind of cool trailers and screenshots, including like a pinball table mode, which for a game all about like firing little orbs at people is like brilliant. So I am so excited. I've always been excited for Outcasters, but when I saw that pinball table mode, I was like, like, I love pinball. I'm not kidding you guys. I've been to the National Pinball Hall of Fame in Las Vegas, and I spent like 3 hours just shoving quarters into games for like forever. I love pinball. So I am very excited to see this. And of course it's cool. It's Outcasters team battle, whatever. Anybody else looking forward to kind of the new team battle mode on Outcasters?
Yeah, I am.
I just want the game to release.
Yeah,
same. I know, right?
Keep it already.
Well, I want them to respond to me about my dang hoodie.
we need let's get the Stadiasaurus, like Carly Stadiasaurus design in the as one of the skins. Like, let's make that. How do we make that happen?
That'd be pretty great.
Talking to you, if Eddie, Eddie has to be in there at some point. Like, even if he's just in the credit roll, like he's got to be in that game at some point now. So like, we can get on that. We can get ourselves in that game. I'm looking forward to it. They in the blog post about this. Toward the end, they were kind of being sneaky, and they were saying like, there's not much left to say, but next week we'll talk about this and this. So I think the plane might be coming in for a landing. I guess at a certain point you start the hype train, and perhaps we'll talk about hype train in just a minute with our good friend from Fear Allen. Anybody else have any thoughts on Outcasters team battle mode before we move on from there?
I'm looking forward to it. Outcasters, I wasn't as hyped for it. I think Avery, your excitement make me a little more like, all right, now I'm on the hype train. Okay, because it looks like it will be fun. Like, yes, it's not this graphical, amazing-looking game, but it looks like the fun factor is going to be through the roof, like a Mario Party or something like that. So to show another mode is pretty cool. So it makes me more like, okay, I'm okay. You got me a little bit.
Yeah, I was really kind of surprised that we hadn't seen, like, it makes perfect sense that they would do something with teams at some point, because otherwise it's an eight, it's a one-on-one for however many eight is there. But like, yeah, 4-on-4 makes perfect sense.
I assumed there was going to be team in it. Like, before they announced this, I still assumed there was going to be some form of team-based stuff in it.
So we got it. We got the teammate mode. A couple of platform updates. One that is definitely rolled out and one that is on its way to rolling out, supposedly, if you live in Italy at least. And that is capture sharing and party chat. So we have been waiting since day one for the concept of capture sharing. And what everybody was expecting was just throw on like the share sheet, like the Android share sheet, because it's a picture or a video clip, right? So you just do that. But Stadia, no. They had a different thought for this. Stadia's share sheet, capture sharing, is literally a link to the Stadia platform that lets you view the picture or view the video, and then has a play it now button on the page. That's so cool. I don't know how I feel about that. I'm going to listen to what you guys think before I really get into that. Scarlett, I know you've been waiting for sharing to kind of hit. What's your take on this particular mechanism for capture sharing?
What's kind of neat about when it comes to sharing video games is sometimes people want just clips and some people want the whole experience. And so I think with something smaller like this, it's really just a stepping stone toward getting the full experience as well. So like I am trying to kind of branch out more and actually start streaming on my personal channel. I'm also going to start once the PS5 gets here and we get a good game on it, I'm going to add that into my weekend as well. And so I've been kind of looking around at like different things and realizing that just these small clips are entertaining for people as well. And so being able to share just like images, you know, if I can share small videos, something about audio even, which is great because then I don't have to go in and like put myself back into the whole thing. So I think it'll be good. It'll be interesting to see how many people start using it.
Yeah, it was it's certainly nifty. I will see how well this works. I'm actually going to paste a share from the one time I have ever been Bomber One in Super Bomberman. As much as I've played that game, I've only ever made it to number one once. So I posted that in the chat if y'all want to see, and then see how the link works and everything. So, but yeah, I think it's kind of cool. It's interesting. Ice B, I don't know if you can speak about it, but is there anything different about, do you have any control over, capture sharing and kind of how it's implemented?
I haven't looked at that, but I don't think we would ever put a stop to this kind of sharing because we want it shown in as many places as possible. The only thing with the link is I hope it's embeddable on Discord, like, you know, where you can just click play on Discord with a click on a link and loading a page and then playing it.
Right.
If it was embedded right in Discord and plays fine, I think that would be amazing.
Agreed.
Yeah, if it's not a full YouTube-y kind of integrate-y thing.
Yeah, so. Like it'd be good on like Twitter or something if it embedded the video rather than having to click the link and then go to a site.
Yep.
The Stadia site.
You know where I bet it does work is Google Plus. It's probably well integrated there, if I had to guess. So there are going to be some people in the chat who are like, what's Google Plus? I don't know about this. You don't.
I just wanted to ask a quick question about, again, how much of a control you have over capturing videos and images in the game. Like, do you, obviously some games are quite story driven and they have like spoilers in them and stuff like that. Have you seen like any code, again, if you can't talk about it, that's fine. Any code that you could use to kind of say, I don't want people to be able to capture this moment or share that moment or anything like that?
I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it. I mean, for our game, it doesn't really matter because while we do have a story campaign, it's not like watching the movie The Sixth Sense, right? Where if you spoil it, you're done.
Spoiler alert, the carnival is death.
Like, yeah. I haven't seen anything like that.
Well, fun stuff. Options abound there. Party text chat also rolling out. It seems to be hitting in other countries, but not the UK and the US. Dom, yes.
So I saw a tweet earlier from a Infinite Jester who is project manager at Stadia, and he simply did a chat emoji with an Italian flag. Now, I, at the time, I was like, "What?" and everyone was like, "What?" and now he's. He's retweeted a Reddit post basically saying, there we go. So I assume they're rolling out the chat country by country, and at the moment it's only in Italy.
Mm-hmm. Well, the screenshots that we found, they looked Italian in...
Yeah, so, I mean, this is the only official tweet I've seen from someone at Stadia. And he was very cryptic about it, but it now makes sense that it seems to be just Italian, and maybe they'll do it country by country.
Chat. I can't. That was terrible. I'm not going to do anything. Hey, cool. You know, I love seeing these little steps, and it's just more things to check off the boxes before next week's anniversary, which we will talk about in just a second. I had some requests to talk about that. One last little bit before we do. Speaking of platform movement, iOS support. So the Stadium browser, the little workaround user agent string shenanigans that the developer has posted, back on the App Store. So you can absolutely get back in there and try to use it on your iOS or iOS or iPad OS device. Does anybody have an iOS device, and have you tried the newest version of Stadium?
Yeah, it works with normal controllers, but it doesn't work with Bluetooth. I think the Bluetooth controller linking was what kind of caused the problems for the guy before. He had to remove that feature, and I've heard, I think he tweeted something about it's been massively like downvoted on the App Store for removing that feature, and it's not really his fault.
Or you just don't get it. Like, that's one or the other, or you just don't get it. But our good buddy Jim Stadia, one of our dear friends, has found some bits and pieces of code that seem to indicate that iOS support is again coming. We keep finding indications that it's coming. I don't even know if I want to bother asking Ice B if he knows anything about iOS support, because I'm going to guarantee that if he does, he can't say a damn thing about it.
Yes.
So we'll just leave that one right there. You can check out all these headlines on StadiaSource.com, your number one source for Stadia news and reviews. One last thing to just kind of bring up. Guys, we're 1 week out from the 1 year anniversary of Stadia. We are going to have a big, big, big show next week. It's going to be a 2-hour creator celebration spectacular. So be prepared for a nice, fun episode. And during that, do I have a Stadia window open? I just heard a noise. Sorry, I heard the plinkety do, the bloop. And I was like, what is. Oh, I do have a Stadia window open. Okay. Sorry. That was just like, somebody get that as their ringtone? What are they doing? Anyways. Live podcasting, everybody. So next week's show, we're going to have all of your favorite content creators, not just the Stream Team Dream Teamers and podcast regulars, but amazing folks from across the Stadia community are going to be joining us to talk the 1 year anniversary of Stadia. So one thing that we're going to do is talk about the news that happens surrounding the anniversary. And so what we're going to do tonight is a little bit of prognostication for the 1 year anniversary of Stadia. It's coming up next week. We're going to have a big old coverage on it on Thursday. So the question I have for the panel, do you think anything big or impressive or important is going to happen between now and the 1 year for the 1 year? Obviously, the number one thing that could happen is a Stadia Connect. We've been given no indication that that's coming, but we know they're probably doing at least one more this year. So do we think anything interesting or important is going to happen for the 1 year anniversary? Herbert, I'll go ahead and get you out of the way. That way, if you happen to know something, you can be like, I have no idea. You might not know anything at all. It's perfectly fine. But what do you think? Do you think anything cool or special is going to happen for the anniversary?
I can actually tell you that I don't know when exactly things will happen. I know things are happening, but I don't know when things are happening.
There you go. So something is happening, which I think we can all basically
say. Hashtag great stuff.
You heard it here, everybody. I'm just kidding. We're not going to throw you into that bus. Anthony, what's your prediction? What is something that you haven't seen roll out yet, just as a Stadia person, now that you've kind of been in the ecosystem, that you would like to see come land on the platform?
I actually don't know what's public information or not.
should we just skip you for this one? It's perfectly fine.
I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff coming on Stadia, right? There's a lot of feature. I don't think every single feature has been released yet, right?
Yeah, so we don't have a true YouTube streaming. We don't have crowd play in the public domain yet. We do have family now. We don't have true state share. We've got the weird Crata integration of that. So those at least those three major buckets that we haven't seen come out just yet. Am I missing something?
Anybody? Web assistant.
The real assistant integration. So those things.
Yeah, there's a lot of things coming, but even I don't know when exactly they're coming out, and it's good that I don't know because I might accidentally talk about it. I would get in trouble. But I know that. How much can I say? But I do know that they want to fully test it internally, and with their biggest titles and partners before it's released for everybody, so that when you do play it, it's going to be flawless.
Very cool. And we supposedly there have been references in the code to VR. Miles pulling that up. I don't know about that. Latency and then suddenly would be bad.
We did find quite a few patterns for it. I think one of our older members that is no longer on the team found patterns towards VR and stuff with Stadia. So who knows?
Good man. Anthony, what do you think we're going to get for the 1 year? Anything you want to predict? Do we want to make another bet? Do we want to make a double pepperoni pizza?
I'm not going to bet you again, but this is what I think. So I had a question that I've been popping in a lot of the streamers from Cyborg to Stadia Cast to Clive. And this is the question I asked. If there was one game that's already a Stadia title that's not pro, but it's a bigger title, that on the anniversary, they would make a pro game, like as a freebie, like, oh, it's the anniversary, now we're going to make, bam, this a game. So I got a weird feeling that on the anniversary, they're going to do that. They're going to take a game that you wouldn't think would be a pro game because it's too expensive. It's more than, you know, Avery, you say your $30 mark, anything under $30. They're gonna take a game that's like above $30 that you would not think would be a pro game, and as a token of the anniversary, and this is a pro game. That's what I got a feeling.
Stacks Platinum Edition.
No. Like,
oh brother.
You know, Bill said it would have to be something that's like PG, because I was like, what if they did Red Dead Redemption, right? But I don't know. But I won't say what I think it is, but I got a feeling.
That could be a real good way to get the player base back up on Avengers. They were just to give that away.
They've got to have something to replace Destiny 2, because that leaves Pro on the 19th, and that was kind of like their flagship. So if they're looking for the next generation of people to join Stadia, and they had Destiny 2, but now there's kind of nothing Fortnite in its place that's that big.
Fortnite drops on Stadia.
Death Carnival, clearly that's the replacement for Destiny.
But then, unless then they have that free to play page, and Destiny really isn't going, it's just going to the side.
Well, the collection goes, but you get the base game, which is free to play on any platform. Right. Anyway.
Yeah. So, Scarlett, what do you think? What are we going to see in that 1 year?
We all know what I want.
Gods and Monsters.
No. YouTube integration, direct YouTube integration, too. Super simple,
human fall easy enough flatter. To just
human fall flatter. as far as like, I could see there just being like, hey, so 1 year anniversary, here's like a mega discount, like 90% off games, you know, I don't know, some kind of new incentive for people to sign up for pro. Maybe even giving people who are a current pro subscriber, like, hey, you know, it's our 1 year anniversary, here's a month or two for free, thanks for supporting us. In fact, I'm actually going to take this bet. I'm going to put a bet against myself.
So you get yourself pizza.
I'll buy myself
pizza. You get pizza.
Every pizza is a personal pizza if you try hard and believe in yourself. if there is not even a mention about a new feature, then I will buy a mug, a mask, a hat, a shirt, one of those items for one of our viewers. And if they do announce something, I will buy it for myself. I don't know. I don't know how to do those kinds of things. You know,
your disappointment could result in free merch for one of our lucky viewers. And we'll know by next week's stream. Dom, make us a bold prediction here.
Ubisoft Plus.
We've been waiting. It's on Luna, and it's kind of pricey. It's the full $15.
As long as I get...
It's only like six games on Luna, too. It's not even like the full thing.
They added more, I think.
Okay.
It was originally just the six, and then they slowly added a few more. As long as I get Rainbow Six Siege...
That's all you want.
Content.
We'll have Lee will be playing his heavy attack only on Valhalla, and then you'll have your Rainbow Six Siege.
And as Rooster said, I'd like some Activision Blizzard stuff, maybe. At least some hints that they're gonna actually do something.
Yeah.
Because they've
Diablo 3 to replace Destiny 2. Just saying. That'd be kind of kick ass, but Dan, what's your thoughts?
I genuinely think we're gonna see something regarding Outcasters, whether it be whether it be for the actual anniversary event or maybe just slightly after for as a pro game or something like that for December. I'm not hedging my bets either way at the moment, but that's what I think is going to happen.
Assuming it launches with the pro launch, assuming it launches on pro, which is a safe bet, and they roll it out with other pro titles, that probably means we'll get it on the first of a month. So it would be December 1st, January 1st, February 1st, if it's coming sometime soon. So.
Yeah, but don't you guys think something special is going to happen on the 19th? I think something special will happen that day. 1 week from today, something we don't have is coming that day. Feel it.
They've hinted at it. I remember
stacks
when...
Stacks on Stacks 2.
When there was the Q&A on the Founders Hub, and Grace said they,
I can't talk about it, but keep your eyes peeled. One of those kind of dodgy answers.
I just also remembered: are we due to hear from Harmonix and Supermassive Games still this year?
And the other one.
The other one was doing Outcasters, weren't they?
No, wasn't there a third one? Supermassive of Outcasters.
And Splash Damage. You were making Outcasters.
There's one more.
I'm pretty sure we were more due more in later this year. In the Kinect, or am I thinking of something else?
We don't know if we will necessarily see them. Maybe it was only Harmonix and Supermassive. I could have sworn it was.
I'm pretty
July
sure the other one was Splash Damage, and they're the one, and they announced Outcasters then.
Uppercut Games, the people who are behind City of Brass, that was the other one. So, we'll see. Dan, did you have any other predictions?
No, you pretty
after
much
after Dom's wild out.
Anything else I was likely to think of, so.
I think we'll either get or we'll get an announcement of a Kinect. I think we're due for one more, and so hopefully between now and the end of the year, we will hopefully get one. Or it'll just be a big old this week on Stadia post.
I hope that if it is just a this week on Stadia post, I kind of hope they do a video to say hey, it's 1 year. Thank you for being a gamer, blah, 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 blah.
Ooh, more of the Stadia stories of the people being this is my controller and here's a story about me. I love more of that.
More of that.
Stadia player who was playing some Destiny. Somebody in the chat was it'll be cool desktop wallpapers. Gundara would be cool desktop wallpapers. Might very well be. Maybe we need a cool Death Carnival desktop wallpaper.
Okay, so I put out a poll on Team Stadia Play asking what color controller people would want. I would love a new controller color. I asked if people wanted video red, aka YouTube red, pumpkin orange, lovely purple, and just silver. And everybody was tied between the first three, and nobody really seemed to like silver.
Mm.
I went for
because you said just silver. Color. You didn't hype it up. You said just silver.
I was trying to do like you know how Google's like this is clearly white and this is just blue.
Almost, so, you know, almost green or whatever.
Yeah, like apple space silver.
Right. Yeah. Orbit. Oh, I love orbit space charcoal green, or something. You know.
Yeah. there you go. I should have done that.
Well, you know, we'll see what happens when we hit next week's anniversary. We'll see. Dom,
sorry,
was there another?
Sorry, oh. I was just typing. Sorry.
So it's okay. Hype. Everybody hype. Everybody hype trade. Choo-choo. Guys, we don't know. There's only one out of the six people on the screen who could have any clue what's happening next week. But we don't know if there's anything happening this week. We know we will be doing awesome stuff next week. So that's the important thing, is to be here for our awesome stuff this week, okay? So next week, join us. Big, big, big show. All right, guys. You won't survive your apocalyptic death trap game show without leg warmers. It's time for the Hot Topic. You guys like that one? It was with the death card. I incorporated the death warmers. Carnival. And we get the leg warmers because they sell them at Hot Topic, right? You guys like that? It's great, right?
You get A for effort, man.
Yeah. We're getting better every week. I'm gonna clip show all of these things together and just play it on a loop and drive Scarlett nuts. We are super, super thrilled to have with us director from Fury Island Games, Herbert. If you are just tuning in, which some of you are because the we see a lot of folks who've joined us, to chat about Death Carnival and being a part of the Stadia Makers community and joining us as a Stadia developer studio, all that wonderful stuff. So for those of you who have not been following all the Apocalyptic Wasteland news, Icebeat, tell us a little bit about Death Carnival. How would you sum up Death Carnival for folks who have not yet heard of this awesome, awesome game?
Okay. So Death Carnival is a cross-play, cross-platform title, and it has a single-player, online co-op, online PvP, and it has a whole bunch of different game modes. It has full support for score-chasing leaderboards, full speed-running tools support. It has like a secret hunting support. We're also considering putting in a pacifist mode support. We're still talking about that one, but basically it's a top-down shooter. It's a hybrid of, I would say, multiple genres, kind of like how Risk of Rain 2 is multi-genre, right? So it includes the fast, easy gameplay of arcade action. It has the fast intensity of games like Contra, Doom, Metal Slug. And then with a lot of crazy power-ups, kind of like from Bomberman, for example. So lots of fun party stuff.
Yeah, I'm getting major Smash TV vibes from it. Because yes, I was a huge big money, big prizes. Oh, I love it. Like, I love that game so much. I played so much of that game on Super Nintendo and really enjoyed that. I'm super looking forward to Death Carnival, but Fury Island, is a growing indie studio. Tell us a little bit about Fury Island Games and kind of how you got started with game development with them, and what you've been working on with the team.
Okay, so Fury Island started, I would say, the whole team started maybe five, almost 6 years ago now. This was our first major project. In the beginning, we just did a bunch of smaller tests to see what we want to do, but this as a studio, this is actually our first title that we're going to be releasing, and we started with two people, and now we're up to including some project-based contractors, about 30 people.
Oh wow!
We didn't actually expect to get this far, as I mentioned before, in the beginning. How long do I have to talk about this? My life story.
It is us for the next 30 minutes. You got all the time you want.
Okay. So in the beginning, we just wanted to make any game, really. The very first thing we did was actually a text-based loot generator, and that was our game. That was actually the extent of what we knew back then. It was only two of us, and we didn't have any game making experience. So after we made this loot generator, which is really fun, by the way, like epic legendary flaming acidic sword of magic plus five, you know, and then it'll be
you clearly have some D&D players in your group then.
Yeah, we have a lot of different hardcore gamers in our team. And then eventually we made our first movement on screen where it was just Pac-Man moving all across a 2D screen, and we were like, oh, that's so amazing. Like we made the thing move all across the screen. And then we got excited, and then we were like, okay, now let's make it shoot. And then we were making shoot, we thought that was amazing. And then eventually, you know, after months, after almost a year, we switched to 3D. And then we started doing 3D modeling, and we had to learn how to model in 3D. And then we made the character move on the screen, and we were so amazed. And this was all for Unity, because it's pretty easy in Unity to make a lot of indie games, right? And then eventually we, on Discord, we joined a lot of game dev community, and it's such awesome people on Discord, between all the other like game dev league and a bunch of other Discords, right? They were very open with what they knew. They were kind of passing on their knowledge. Well, you know, give me $50,000 for a course. No, nothing like that, right? It was just like, okay, here's information. I'll be happy to teach you about game dev. You know, ask me any questions. It's the warmest possible community on the planet. Game dev communities, like you, it's amazing. It's amazing, and we wouldn't be here without such a community.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So we just kept learning. We're learning, and we knew that. Doing anything well required, what was it, 10,000 hours, right? So because we were such newbies, we woke up early in the morning and we would do crazy exercise just to wake ourselves up, you know, coffee, tea, you know, whatever, jumping jacks. And we would start learning about it and day after day, night after night, until we had 10,000 hours per person of using Unity. And then we released our first demo on Discord, and we were blown away by the response. And we're like, oh wow, this game is so fun. It's so fun. But why does it look so crappy?
guys, we just started. Like, it's fun.
Yeah, and then so because that was the only thing we could do. Like, we didn't have the skills to make a really amazing, beautiful game. We just knew what we liked to play. We knew what was fun. Because we're able to test it, right? Like, we make something, test it, be like, okay, that's not fun. And then we try it again, and then we test it, and we're like, okay, this is really fun. So that's the whole thing we did. And eventually, we got to a point where, okay, the gameplay is there. We started putting in co-op, low-cost share screen co-op, which I can talk about later. And then eventually, we got a point, okay, we have all the gameplay in. We have really cool features, but now we need to talk about how to improve our graphics. And that's when we start attracting really talented people. And we started growing our team until eventually we got to where we are now, where I believe we have good gameplay and pretty good graphics.
Very, very cool. Dan, do you take the next question?
Has your team experienced anything different with developing games for Stadia versus other platforms at all?
Yeah, and it's the way you test the builds, where if for example, if you're building a PC game, you can build it really quick locally, and then you just kind of run the exe file, and then you can play it. But to test it on Stadia, you either need to upload to a dev kit machine, or you have to upload it to the cloud. So if you're testing other people's build, other team members' build, it's very quick, right? Just like when you're a gamer, you press play and then you play the game. But if you're testing something that you made yourself, you have to upload. And not every single member have a dev kit because they're really expensive. So that process is longer, but testing other people's builds or having other testers test your latest build, it's much, much faster.
Very cool. Speaking of testing and getting in there, Dom, why don't you take the next question?
Yeah, how did you like find out about the Stadia Makers program, and how do you feel be part of like the freshman class, like representing it?
We've actually have a pretty good relationship with Unity. And this is a program that it was created by Stadia, Google, and Unity together. And we've constantly in contact with Unity, and we're always asking them, hey, you know, if there's anything new, you know, is anything we can try? Because we always want to try Unity's new features, like all the new stuff. We would just brick our game just to try it. Like we were always on the latest versions. So because of this relationship, they said, hey, there's this new thing, cool new thing. And you know, your game looks pretty cool and it's pretty ambitious. You know, do you want to talk to these people? And they would not tell us for the longest time who it is. Like, who's this person?
Just meeting somebody shady in a room to like, sign on to this Google Meet, but don't ask any questions.
No, literally, that was it. They wouldn't tell us for the longest time. Who am I meeting? It's so shady, right? It's so shady. And eventually we went on and it was like, oh, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Sounds like fun.
So it was really the Unity team who was kind of pushing you and possibly others toward the Makers program.
Yes, I think it, because in the beginning, I think for the first phase, as the first batch of games to be on with this program, I think they probably they don't have every single kink ironed out yet, and we've shown ourselves to be pretty good with problem solving, with testing new technology, just like we tested Unity simulations platform. So we're pretty open with testing new technology. So that may be why we were one of the first to be invited.
Very cool. Scarlett, who is currently on mute and will unmute herself momentarily.
There's that click. So it looks like you're going to have crossplay and cross progression. So how does like such a small team handle something like that when it comes to ports for different platforms? Do you just assign like an individual developer? Do you kind of like group together and take each port like one at a time, or you know, how does that work?
So we're doing crossplay, cross progression, and for the porting process. For Stadia, we're doing it in-house. But for the other platforms, which I won't mention on your channel, we will get
some other stuff. We know you're coding for Ouya and right. I'm super old.
And Nokia and Nokia as well. Nokia phone.
The N-Gage platform.
Sega.
You heard it here. Death Carnival on Dreamcast.
Wow. That might be good because actually our game is so optimized. We could actually, in our last build, we were able to play it at, I think, even lower, 640 by 480. Yeah, so we're fully open to even crappier machines.
Death Carnival on your smart fridge is clearly what we're going for. question kind of on that. Are you targeting a particular, like, are you targeting 4K60? Are you aiming for anything of that nature that you can tell us?
Yeah, we are not only supporting 640 by 480, but we're also supporting 4K and eventually 8K. Because all the internal models and textures that we're working with inside our GitHub project, we actually have used 4K textures. So, which is good enough to actually be played on 8K monitors whenever, if you ever have like a dual 3090.
Very nice. Wow. Or it was Stadia upgrades to, you know, Gen 2 or whatever.
Yeah. Or Stadia. You know? Yes.
Yeah. Very, very cool. Anthony, do you have a question? Yep.
Yeah, I got a question. One of the cool things about Stadia is that there's no downloads, so you could just press play and go. So I'm curious to know, can you say what's the size of, because you said it's crossplay, so could you say what's the size of your game in terms of like gigs or hard drive space?
For those who aren't lucky enough to be playing on Stadia.
I'm thinking about how to spell it. I think by the, so because we haven't fully finished all the levels yet, I think by the end of it, we're looking at maybe just under 100 gigs, a little bit less than 100 gigs.
Okay.
There you go. And so, I mean, hey, that takes up one-fifth of your available – no, like one-third of your available space on an Xbox Series. You know? But, hey, you know, but the whole point is –
Did you just say oops? My bad. But, so I didn't mean to take up that much space.
You get Valhalla, you get Modern Warfare, you get Death Carnival. That's all you need.
That's it.
You're good to go. Or you play it on Stadia, and you don't worry about that stuff because –
Or Furion's got you delete it, delete one game, and then download that game and install that game. All right.
So, actually, the premise of the Death Carnival universe is actually it's a dev game show, like Smash TV or the Running Man movie with Arnold. It's in the future.
2 weeks. 2 weeks. No, wait. That was Total Recall. So sorry, I made the wrong joke. This is why you don't give me a camera and a microphone, okay? Sorry. Herp, back to you. That's me.
Okay. So in the future, the premise of the story, the game is, which, by the way, you can play through a story. There's actually a story to this game. It's not just shoot stuff and make things explode. There's actually a story. You can, I think on launch, we're planning to have around 10 characters or so. And then you're going to have more expanded along the way. It's going to be a 3 to 5 year title, actually, meaning we have enough content planned and features planned for 3 to 5 years. Where we're just going to keep adding to really cool stuff. But the really cool thing is for people who love story is every single character that you choose, you go through the story arc differently. Like you each have like a different facet of the story that you experience with different characters. But the whole background arc is, it's in the future where Death Carnival is the only entertainment in the entire world, and maybe we'll make that a reality.
One day it will all be Death Carnival on video, in particular. By the way, if you are watching us right now, you got questions for Ice B, post them in the chat. I see a couple already, and we'll get to those. We'll get to those at the end. You actually answered one of the questions about talking about the multiple characters. We know that there are some kind of cool tricks and tools that Stadia has on the go. With what you can talk about, are you looking to, even if you have to phrase it as a developer, I'd totally be interested in, are you looking at things like state share, crowd play, crowd choice, stream connect, those kind of things?
So state share, we may not want to have that. The reason being, that's more for jump. I think that's talked about, right? So it's where you just jump right into the game. Right?
That was a GDC. We know that one. Yeah.
Okay. So you just jump right into the game, but because our game doesn't support or doesn't it's not designed to allow people to jump in mid level. You have to start in the beginning. Otherwise, it's not fair. Like in terms of speed running, score chasing, all that stuff. Right. But Stream Connect, we're actually really excited about because it supports split screen.
Oh, cool. Okay, so your implementation of split screen will be using Stream Connect?
I think that would be the easiest way. I mean, we've always supported it before, but then we right now we have it turned off. The reason is because it's difficult to fit so many action explosions and stuff when you have four players on a screen packed into one screen. But Stream Connect might solve that problem because you get a split.
It literally never occurred to me that would be an incredibly obvious use of Stream Connect. This is the first time in a year that's occurred to me. That makes a whole bunch of sense. And of course, crowd play, crowd choice, any of that on your radar?
Yeah, so crowd play, you know, using Super Chat to get into a queue to play with a streamer. You know, who's the biggest sim, where, you know, who is that? I mean, who's the biggest supporter, right? Crowd choice, you vote for stuff to happen and you vote for different events to happen in the game. We actually have multiple stream interaction modes built into the game. We may even have something that's kind of like a drinking game, but we don't call it a drinking game.
the Death Carnival fun game. Totally not a drinking game.
Yeah.
That is too funny. Let's take a couple of questions out of the chat. First one, Peter Jones wants to know, is he your favorite Cerber mod? We were talking about your Discord earlier.
My, who's this?
It's Peter Jones. Do you know Peter Jones? If you're still watching, you might want to drop your actual Discord handle because that's probably your real name, and he clearly has no idea what to do. Rigger with a couple of cool questions. What are you targeting in terms of the length of the game, the amount of time people will be in there and playing it? For let's say just the base campaign. Of course, obviously you come back for multiplayer and stuff.
Yep. Okay. So if you play at probably the lowest difficulty, and we have 5 difficulties, which, by the way, during testing, our highest difficulty, only 0.5% of any player has ever passed the highest difficulty. So it's pretty crazy. And they had to try,
challenge accepted.
I knew you were going to say that. I was going to say Dom's about to say that.
So
Dom, you, Death Carnival. Yeah.
If you were to play lowest difficulty, never die, and just go through it pretty easily, it's about between 6 to 7 hours to go through the story campaign. But then, of course, plus, you can play different characters. You have the weapon socket system, where you collect different weapon components, and you can actually craft and combine into your own unique weapons. So there's that. There's room-sized bosses. I realize I just missed all the best points.
It's okay. We're here. We're learning.
Okay. different game modes, different interactive game modes, co-op with friends, PvP. You can make your own squads, just tournaments, ladders, and really cool stuff. But yeah, just it's unlimited amount of hours, really.
Very, very cool. Kind of interesting thing. Antonio, if you can't tell, we got some nerds here that really do get into the tech stuff on this. We've always been interested in the kind of the techy stuff. So Antonio asking the Linux Vulkan development being part of this. Obviously, Unity has the direct integration with Stadia, so that kind of takes some of it out. Have you had to adjust any of your workflows, or is there anything different about developing for a Linux IDE or plugging into Vulkan than developing for Windows or whatnot?
So one of our early team members only uses Linux. He refuses to use Windows.
That's everybody at my dev shop. I work in software too. So that's everybody in my shop.
Yeah. So basically, every time we test the build, we had to provide a Linux build. So we're pretty much Linux supported since day one, because he was so annoying about it. And
and go ahead and say his name and embarrass him on the internet. I'm kidding. No.
It's Peter Jones.
It's Peter Jones. It's literally Peter Jones.
So yeah, we've been supporting Linux since day one. With the latest Unity versions, actually, it's much, much easier. Before, we had some graphics problems where some certain advanced shaders wouldn't display properly in the older Unity versions. But after we have been updated to Unity 2020, it's fine.
Very cool. Very cool. Dom, did you have a question?
Yeah, just a quick question. You say there's about roughly 10 characters to play. And you mentioned about sort of weapon sockets. Is how much variation are there within the characters then?
Okay.
Can you play the same character differently? Is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
So every character comes with their own primary attack weapon, their secondary weapon, and their ultimate attack weapon. So, for example, the main character, he's a typical soldier guy. His main weapon is a machine gun. Very standard. And then his secondary attack is a sword swing. And then his ultimate attack is a twin Gatling gun that just appears and it just goes crazy.
Serious Sam mode. Just
yeah, it's kind of like, I watch a lot of anime. I'm a total weeb. So it's that level of insanity where it's like One Punch Man level, like Gurren Lagann stuff level. It's kind of like Dragon Ball level. It's kind of like... it's kind of like that level of insanity, or even Marvel versus Capcom, where you have the giant ultra attacks that happens, right? It's that level of attack in intensity within the whole game. When we talk about what differentiates between one character to the other, every single character have different sets of weapons, different primary, different secondary, and different ultimate attacks. On top of that, you can add on swap out the weapon ammo. You can change the weapon module. For example, a machine gun, you can change it so that you can put a bend mod on it, so the weapon starts bending around the corners. You can turn it to be explosive bullets, so they can explode on impact. And then on top of that, if you get temporary modules in the level, you can add in, say you pick up like a shattered module. When those flaming bending bullets hits another enemy, it will shatter into more flaming bits and kill more stuff.
Wow. That sounds super, super fun. One more question. There was a question I was going to ask you earlier, and it just pinged into my brain. One of the things, and this might, again, I'm going to hedge you. It could be one of the things you can't talk about. One of the perks that we always hear about Stadia is Stadia lets devs take things further than they would have otherwise. We saw that with Bomberman being able to jump into the 64 mode and Pac-Man Battle Royale doing those kinds. Mm-hmm. Is there any chance or are there any plans to integrate kind of that, you know, on everywhere else you can do the 100-person deathmatch, but on Stadia you can do the 150 or any, you know, twice the number of baddies on screen, anything like that you can tell us about? Or maybe there's nothing planned and that's perfectly fine too.
I mean, we want to be kind of similar for features and functions between all the different platforms. However, because I like as a team, we're pretty experimental. I suppose, I mean, if we put in some kind of testing only section of the game where only enter here, no guarantees whether this is gonna break or whatever. I mean, we can test some weird stuff on it, like 100 player top down shooter or something. Because I think when you Stadia research, you can use Google servers, right? So I'm like, okay, we're not paying for that stuff, so let's do 100 players.
That's cool. Very, very, very cool. Blue Bob's one of our who couldn't be with us wanted to ask about the Unity case study that you did. It was a cool Unity case study using the cloud to run these millions of scenarios to really optimize the weapons. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, so we worked with the Unity team pretty early on during alpha version of their game simulation platform, which they're integrating really cool stuff like AI, machine learning, all that cool stuff. For games and for non-games as well. But basically what it does is we had a problem with our game, which is, so we have this really cool weapon socket system, so many permutation. If we just launch it as is, it's going to be broken and so unbalanced, it's not going to be fun, right? There's going to be like one meta like build and everybody's going to use that, right? And it's not going to be fun. So the way we solve that is by, hey, let's use this platform. Let's work with Unity to... say, hey, we want this feature. And then they were awesome enough to help work with us and give us exactly what we need to solve our problem. So by using that, we were able to emulate a player trying every single permutation, every single weapon combination, and go through a level and see whether it's balanced or not. And that completely helped us to balance like the ridiculous amount of permutations.
Very cool.
That's
very
really good cool. Stuff.
That's pretty cool.
As we're wrapping up here, what is I could ask you the standard. What else should we know about Death Counter? We're not going to do that. I'm going to ask you what is when you think about, did we really just do that? Did we make that work? Did that thing just trigger? What is that feature or that cool weapon mod or whatever that you're just like, yeah, we did that. Like, what's that thing that you're excited for people to finally get to see?
So we have a lot of cool features like the weapon socket system, online co-op, PvP. But the recently, I would say the really, really coolest thing would be our speed pads. Okay, so it may seem like you may play in a game, you may walk on a speed pad and it boosts you forward a little bit, and it's kind of cool, and you don't think about it anymore. But we actually have a lot of like crazy good physics in that little tiny speed boost pad. The reason why we put so much effort into making it really realistic and really fun is because we plan to do a lot of fun things with those speed pads and we also have like these pinball repellers. Like what is that called? You know, those pinball thing.
Where bumpers.
Bumpers, right. We have bumpers in the game.
Pinball fan. Yeah.
Yeah, we have bumpers in the game. So we have speed pads and we have bumpers, and obviously close to the bumpers would be like these giant spike walls where you die, right? So don't touch the bumpers. But when you combine the different physics and plus speedrunning, right? We're making speedrunning really fun in the game. You can do like all these dashing into the bumper, and then picking up speed, and then bumping into the speed pad, picking up more speed, bouncing off the wall, and then chain all these speed pads, and you know, run a level instead of, you know, completing a level regularly at in 15 minutes. Maybe you can speed run in 3 minutes, right? So, yeah.
Cool. Cool beans. So what you're saying is Death Carnival pinball style level is clearly on the, you're going to do a pinball map? I'm just saying. I got that. I did ask you, I've asked you before if there's going to be any like actual carnival element, like, you know, robo clowns or a carousel or anything. Is that, did you take my thing? I'm just saying.
I don't like clowns. I haven't even watched it.
No, that's not on my list either. Well, very, very, very cool. Well, I am super, super excited about Death Carnival. Can you give us a 6-month window in which it will be released? Or a year, maybe.
It's coming out pretty soon, TM.
Pretty soon. Perfect. Well, we will take pretty soon. Well, we are excited for Death Carnival. We hope you guys are excited for it in the chat as well. We're so thankful that you joined us as our very first person who was a Hot Topic tonight. So you are the very first who inhabited the role of the Hot Topic. I'm sure you're wearing fishnets right now. Oh, yes. We had to ask. We had a furry buddy. Who is our furry buddy that's joining us today?
She's Ting Ting.
Ting Ting, adorable. So two guests for the price of one right here, City Source. And if you're listening to us as a podcast, you gotta go back and watch the YouTube video, because there's adorableness happening right below me in a box. You have to make sure that you join us. Thank you so much for being on the panel today. Herbert, if people want to find you online, if they want to find you or Death Carnival, where should they go?
You can find us on our Discord. We're always awake on our Discord. On discord.gg/DC.
You guys got a really, like, I'm surprised that was available. Like, I thought it was like, dang, that's a good custom URL. Follow at death_carnival on Twitter, I believe.
On Twitter, yes, I think so. Hold on. I never type my own.
Phoebe, you gotta hype yourself, Herb. You gotta hype yourself, Ice B. You gotta get that hype up there.
Find us on Discord.
Absolutely. Well, we appreciate it. We appreciate you being here on the show tonight. You guys can check out the community sentences. Let me stop, pause, reverse. We'll try this outro again. Check out the stream team, Dream Team, playing all week long here on the Source Feed Live, including Charm City's Community Playground and Scarlet's Ready Gamer 1 on Sundays, F-Tendo's Dad Time Gaming on Mondays, and right after this podcast, And Now Your Mama Knows with the Power Hour Plus from All Purpose Champ. Make sure to check that out. Next episode, big episode, it's the 1-year anniversary creator celebration, and not only are you going to get to hear from and see your favorite creators, we are also giving away on this next episode two Stadia Pro passes. So you could get 3 free months of Stadia Pro if you tune in. You got to be live in order to get them, so make sure you tune in. Big thanks to Kevin Webb, one of our writers, who has secured and provided those. If you joined us here live, we're so thankful to have you. All of you who ask questions in the chat and hang out with us, we love having you here in the chat. We also want to send a big shout out and thank you. I'm having technical difficulties today, so I'm not going to share my screen, but big thank you in the chat to all of our supporters who have clicked that join button down below. You can check out the supporters page on stadiasource.com to see all of those wonderful folks who have joined us at all levels of their budget. Roundtable, was so good to have you on to chat with as well. Dan, have a good rest of your night.
Thank you.
Dom, good to see you as always.
Good evening. Looking forward to Death Carnival.
Absolutely. Scarlet, a pleasure.
Thanks for being here, Ice B, and it was great to see y'all.
And now your mama knows. We're going to know what you're playing in just a little bit.
Yes, sir. Guys, please jump on the next show, because I'm going to be challenging everybody in Power Rangers Fight for the Grid, and nobody can beat me. I want to see somebody who can beat me.
It's morphin' time, you guys.
Sorry, Dan.
If you are listening to the podcast, you can join us live most Thursday evenings right here on YouTube. And if you're watching us on YouTube, you can download our podcast on Spotify, Pocket Casts, and everywhere else you get podcasts. You can follow Stadia Source on Twitter at Stadia Source, like us on Facebook, live your semi-charm kind of life, baby, and join our Discord at stadiasource.com/discord. You can even wear your Stadia Source merch when you're out and about, like that snazzy hat, that amazing hoodie, and that t-shirt you see down in the corner. So if you want to wear that, head to stadiasource.com/merch. The music at the top of the show is Summer in the Neighborhood by Bad Snacks. Find out all of her music at badsnacks.bandcamp.com. Hosting for stadiasource.com, generously provided by Rock. You can find out more about the technical expertise of Rock at rokk.co.uk. If you haven't already, down below this video is a thumbs up button. Click that button to let us know you like the show. And right next to it is a subscribe button that lets you know every time we go live and post a new video. You can also become a member of Stadia Source channel by clicking the join button down below, with great perks at every level of your budget. For Stadia Source, my name is Avery. Thank you so much for joining the Stadia Source Roundtable tonight. You have a good one.